And good evening, everybody. Don't forget that seminars are coming up. We've got a fantastic one in Chicago, another one in Mantua, New Jersey. And that's going to jeffgelmanseminars.com, jeffgelmanseminars.com, to be able to get more information, but also purchase tickets. You can get a working spot and or an audit spot. So bring a dog, don't bring a dog. You'll learn just as much. They're fantastic, fantastic seminars. Anyway, hello, Joel. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Good, really good. Another beautiful day down here in Florida. Finally, we got through the winter. We got through the winter.
We made it.
We did. It was a rough winter. Last one was great.
We're so soft because in New England, we would have been like 10 times.
Well, also, it's like, keep in mind that last winter was 75s and 80s and sunny.
Yeah.
And this winter was 40s, 50s, 60s. Anyway, this is the What Would Jeff Do show. And my name is Jeff. And this is Joel. And we stream every only Monday and Friday. Monday and Friday. We actually have Tony update the website or someone can do that. Every Monday and Friday on Rumble, on Instagram, on YouTube, and on Facebook. And then also on all the different podcast channels that are out there. And that's the 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our Wednesday nights now are part of our new 90-day full immersion coaching, which starts this week. And we just started a Done With You program. So we've got, you know, done for you, which is a lot of board and training business. Do it yourself is all of our online courses. And then done with you is combination of courses and coaching. We also have a wonderful community, by the way, which is
so good.
A wonderful community. Talk about intimidation, massive intimidation. Just stood there and just cleared. We're just talking about dog behavior. And the community is fantastic. It is number one, you get courses. Number two, you get twice a month coaching on Zoom. So it's face to face, voice to voice. And then you also get a huge amount of support in the community also with your posts. People put up posts. There's no hate, no bullying, no nonsense at all. And right now it's for $377, which is about a little bit more than a dollar a day. And your life will change.
Yeah, it sounds so cliche. Your life will change.
But it will.
But like the people in there know.
So just read the testimonials.
We hear like, yeah, people are posting their stories.
Yeah.
They're sending us their success. Like, yeah, it's just the best place.
Yeah. And the price goes up.
The 15th.
To $977, which is still going to be a great price.
Yeah.
Because you still get courses and coaching. Mm-hmm. Like, that's thousands and thousands of dollars a year that you get. But it's also.
And results.
Do you want your life to dramatically change?
Yeah.
There's just so much nonsense out there. It's incredible. Anyway, this is a Q&A show. You'll be asking questions by typing them in. Joel reads them, and then I answer them. And once in a while, we'll go on a rant. There's always plenty of stuff to rant about. You know, our goal of this show is to get people in the right direction of stopping unwanted behaviors. If you want to learn how to train in a behavior, it's all based on a reward-based system. We have a great course. It's called Green to Graduate. Green to Graduate. You can have a dog that doesn't know any obedience, and you can fully off-leash train this dog with this course.
And that's included in the community.
That's included in the community. And that's the Green to Graduate 1. We also have Green to Graduate 2, which is live.
Also in the community.
And right now we're doing a lot of counter conditioning with this dog named Rue, which is a Shiba. And
that goes in
the community. So everything that we film, Joel might put up a little bit of a clip on social media, but we've got longer format stuff that goes in the community. And there's just so much stuff we're doing. It's incredible. And anyway, I'm doing a great interview tomorrow with Brittany of City Collies. And that's going to be streaming live on this platform that all the platforms you're watching now, it's going to be streaming live on, because she put up a great, fantastic post on e-collar training. And I just want to dissect. There's a lot of things I want to dissect out there. So many things I want to dissect. And I'll give you a good example. Rue, the video he had on a e-collar and a flip lead. And then he has this thin leather collar that just sort of hangs there that has his name on it as well as his phone number on it. So people were asking is like, oh, did he get a grad? This is where people don't understand basic math.
The amount of comments. Just you don't understand.
First of all,
go look through the comments. You'll have a good laugh.
But do you even know what we do? Number one, do you know what we do? And do you understand basic math? So he's with us for aggression rehab. And it's like, oh, well, maybe if he didn't have those torture devices on and maybe he didn't have the e-cowers on, he wouldn't be biting. So this is, but nobody reads the narrative. We spend, you know, Joel spends a lot of time on these posts, curating them, editing them, captioning them, writing really, really informative narratives. Like if you look at most people's narratives, they're not very informative at all. And the dog came to us because whenever anybody touches the dog bites them. Putting a leash on the dog or a slip lead on the dog bites them. This is before the dog came to a board and train. Now here's the big whammy for all of you. When you try to put the dog's harness on, the dog would bite you. The dog has not had a prong collar or a knee collar. Okay, so let's stick to the facts. Let's just stick to those facts. The biggest bite happened to the owner, the dog walker, and the dog attacks the other dog in the house. So it's a human and dog, aggressive dog. And the only tool that was used was a leash and a harness. It's not abused. So let's do some basic math. So we can stick with the philosophical narrative and say, the reason why this dog is aggressive and biting is because it wore a harness. Get that stupid harness off the dog and then maybe it won't bite so much.
Nobody says that.
Why are you abusing the dog with the harness? That sounds really, really silly. Well, for folks like us who actually truly rehab dogs, and I have been for 20 years and 10,000 dogs travel the world, that's not an ego statement. It's just like, it does give a little bit of validity to what the level of expertise is. Plus we have video documentation, plus we have video courses that sell by the tens of thousands. The tools are used after the fact to help stop the unwanted behaviors, but also to help train the obedience, but also to help the owner be successful so the dog doesn't have to be killed. See, dogs that are about to be put down are not in a lot of people's circles. You're not in that arena at all. That's our arena. It's many trainers' arenas. So when you start working with these dogs, like we have, rehabbing these dogs successfully, like we do, you'll understand basic math. You'll also understand rational thinking. And it's funny because like a lot of the comments always ironically come from the UK. It's like, why? I mean, I want to know what the hell happened to Princess Di. Because she was killed.
Going way off topic tonight.
That's what I want to know. I want to know about like who killed her. Like that should be the major concern in the UK right now. That and what's up with Kate Middleton.
Oh my God.
These should be the major concerns, not e-collars. Things that really dramatically change like the life of someone living in the UK. Let's get right to our questions.
All right. Paulette says, hi, everyone. It's negative 10 Celsius here.
Well, Paulette.
What's that, like 30 degrees Fahrenheit?
No.
Yes.
No.
Don't you like double it and add 30 or something like that? I guess doubling negative 10, that'll just get you more negatives.
Yeah, right. Sure does. Basic math. All right. So.
All right. Now I have to Google it.
Paulette, it's 85 here.
It would be, what the fuck is this? 14 Fahrenheit. Dang, that's cold. I don't even know what that feels like anymore. Yikes. Snuggle Bun says, hey, everyone. Hey, Snuggle Bun.
How are you? Good evening.
Cheryl says, hey, J&J. Hey, everyone.
Hello.
Snuggle Bun said, the process with Rue has been amazing to see. Oh, my God. You should see the video. I put up a little bit on stories, but the video we filmed today, so good. He's so cute, too. And he's, like, all happy to work now.
Yeah.
Watch literally, like, 5 days.
Watch the video today. So
it's in our stories.
This is what's really, really funny. It's, like, people that make comments about Rue can't do the work that we're doing. This sounds so egotistical, but it's like, I know they can't because we like, I go to their pages to see what they're all about. Rue, and Rue has been doing clicker training.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm clicker training him. Like, there's a skill set here. Like, real dog trainers have skill sets. So it's like he's being clicker trained. Classic conditioned, counter conditioned, reward based training. We're doing like all kinds of things. You couldn't touch this dog's collar without getting bit. I can touch any of his collars. I can touch him with no collar. I can touch his head, touch his mouth. He puts his face in my palm. He's
technically, you're like the stranger, really.
I've worked with him for 3 sessions.
That
30 minutes each.
The majority of the time he's with Courtney.
30 like, minutes each.
It's good to see that it's generalizing.
So he doesn't live with me.
Yeah.
He doesn't work with me all day. He doesn't see me. I come in, I leave. Mm-hmm. Sort of like the dog walker would, who's been working there for more than 3 days. But it just goes to show how, like, that's where when you hear also comments about, oh, you're suppressing the behavior, that actually comment was actually used in this video. The video, it's like, if you really think that this dog is suppressing behavior, you're crazy. First of all, suppression's not bad, we know that. But it's like, this dog wants to do great things.
Mm-hmm. He really does.
So, and there's so much misinformation out there about e-cowers. People think that you're randomly just shocking the dog. People really don't
think
it's like
that.
You've lost all rational. It's like, do you think about everything
that's why
in life?
Your conversation with Brittany tomorrow is gonna be so interesting, because the amount of comments on that post,
it's incredibly
that people are like, you're just slapping a collar on the dog and zapping it.
They don't.
It's like, what in what
people
world?
Don't understand. It's like where did you learn this information? Like,
from other people who also hate e-collars.
Right, but also don't know. So everybody's spreading false information, and that's the power of the internet, is everybody's spreading false information. And all this information is false. And people can argue all day long, but it's like, but it's a lie. It's false. It is false. Like, you're well, I'm entitled to my opinion. I'm like, yeah. And that's all it is an opinion. And what we state is based on is factual. There are facts. In dog training, there are actual facts. So, like, there's a lot of variables, but there's facts. Next.
Let's see. Wow, we got a lot of questions tonight. I already read. Okay, Melissa, client with a 5-month-old dog that drools nonstop in the crate. Not sure what can be done to stop the behavior. I think as they get into more crating, she will adjust. I need advice, please.
Well, if you're a dog trainer, you should probably join our coaching group, or at least join the community, so you can also get even more help.
Because in a lot of our programs,
okay, awesome. But so number one, you can the drooling. If the number one, you put a towel down, which is not going to fix it. But what you know, usually a lot of dogs are over aroused. The number one issue, obviously, is there's a lot of unwanted behaviors going on. But a lot of it is based, like people are like, oh, it's based on fear. It's actually based on historically over arousal. So once you start putting your dog into a structured program that's built on leadership, consequences, proactive training, stopping unwanted behaviors, dog's old enough for all these things, by the way, confidence building, state of mind work, and any good dog trainer does all these things, by the way. Like, this is not unique. This is not like a unique thing. Like, someone that's in really, really good shape, it's like, compared to someone that's in average shape, there's like like there's a lot of variables, but to good dog trainers, it's like it, a lot of it is very similar. There's different techniques, but it's still a similar philosophy. Once you start doing all of that and you're consistent and then cutting down on affection, having structured play and then structured downtime, working on the dog's state of mind, doing duration work, I wouldn't be surprised if all that drooling goes away. Next. And you have to do all, you have to do all this stuff anyway, by the way. So it's not that you're fixing drooling. You're just training, you're doing what you're supposed to do with his dog. Like everybody should be doing what I just said with their dog. That's about dog ownership. People, like the work that I'm doing with Rue, counter conditioning him, clicker training with him, there's a skill set there. Like that's not so like, oh, do counter conditioning protocols. Use a reward-based system. People wouldn't know what to do. Like there's a skill set. Like everything has a skill set. It's not a difficult skill set, but it's a skill set. Next.
Sam White, I went to a group class with Sasha yesterday, 15 dogs. She blew up a few times. We went outside, did a lot of drills. Mm. Whenever she had a chance, she put her ass to the class. I would say down and she would down the opposite way.
Yep.
I know that's her avoiding, but I don't want her to get used to, I want her to get used to looking at the dog so I can walk by a dog without exploding. Mm-hmm. Or are those two not mutually exclusive?
Well, there's a lot of variables there. Right now, the fact that she's lying down, and even if she's not in the exact body position that you want, you could make her do it. But right now, she's staying out of the bar because she knows if she walks into the bar, she'll have a drink.
She's trying.
All right. But she's still sober. Got it? And that, believe it or not, what the hell did Jeff say? That's actually the perfect analogy. Next. For those of you that drink and are trying to stay sober, you'll fully understand the analogy. Next.
Athena, the rescue Shep says, random question. Do rescue dogs remember their previous crappy life?
Say that one more time.
Do rescue dogs remember their previous crappy life?
First of all, why are we assuming they had a crappy life? Why are we assuming they had a crappy life? That's a narrative. Most dogs that get adopted out have false narratives attached to them. What makes you think dogs living in homes have good lives? What makes you feel that dogs living in homes don't have crappy lives? Just because they live in a home with humans, that does not mean they have a good life. Just because you're wandering the streets of Puerto Rico, Detroit, New Orleans, Florida, that doesn't mean you have a bad life. But what's the basis of the question?
Do they remember or not?
I don't know. Nobody knows.
Right.
If a trainer says they know, it's like they just wanted to sound smart. I can come up with a really smart answer to that. But my second question is, from a training perspective, what does it matter? Mm. What does it matter? We don't need to know. Any good dog trainer does not need to know. But the real question is, who said they had a crappy life? And who says they have a good life now? Next.
Constance said, hi, everybody. Joelle, you're looking extra cute tonight. Thank you.
Yeah, she is. I've actually had beat you to it.
Really enjoyed cooking and coaching with Jeff last night.
I said, told her how beautiful she looks.
Thanks. I did my hair.
In the bathroom. Yep.
I've been trying not to do a lot of heat on it lately, so I haven't been styling it.
Yeah, but your hair's been...
it's finally growing, and I'm not bleaching it anymore.
It's been banging lately. Yeah.
That's because I'm not blow drying it or doing anything to it.
Yeah, get that natural.
It's been a whole year since I've bleached my hair.
It's so funny. In a world of like, this will trigger a lot of people. You know, in a world of people that spend a lot of time on their appearance, which is fine. Especially if it gives you a lot of confidence. You're one of the few people who wake up just smoking hot. Next.
Jolie, I'm getting donations from my kids to pay for the community, LOL.
Why donations? Why don't you just steal it from them?
Oh my God.
Fuck that. Just take it from them.
No allowance.
No.
You gotta join the community.
No, just take it from them. Drain their damn bank accounts. Drain it. College? Please. Take it right out of the college fund. Next.
Kara, how can I get my bulldog to stop slamming into my legs when I recall him or when he's playing with my other dog? He comes flying in. I stick my foot out to stop him if I see him coming. We use e-collar.
Yep, so I know. He's, it's, I know. No spatial awareness.
It's like, always like the bulldogs and shit too. They're like little bowling balls.
It's like you're in the ER with you have a broken leg. Can you explain what happened again? Well, I have a bulldog. Oh, stop right there.
Their heads are like boulders too, hitting you.
We know the rest. So what you can do is this. Get yourself a disc, just a little disc. If you go to Tractor Supply, they've got those rubber feeders. They're like yay high, round, probably 9, 12 inches, 15 inches, wide. Anyway, flip it over. So now it's like a thing you can step on. Start practicing recalls to the disc. Recall to two paws on the disc. Recall to two dogs on the disc. So now, and then you do, mark that behavior and then do reward. That might help. Also, you can get yourself a little, for that close, you can probably actually use a stockyard whip instead of a dressage whip for that. Dog gets a little bit close to you. Teach it spatial pressure real quick. Next.
Debbie, tips to keep off-leash dogs away from my mini bull terrier. I'm small myself, 5 feet, and I've had giant breed dogs in my neighborhood attack my dog previously.
Yep.
Use pet corrector, all I had. Stop need to know how to corrector. Keep dogs from encroaching in our space. Hi from Canada.
Yep. Take the pet corrector and throw it in the trash. All right? Yeah, this is the thing. This is an interesting conversation, and everyone always gets up in arms about this except for the millions of people who it's happened to. And whenever we put up a video, everybody has an excuse for the off-leash dog. And they don't, for some reason, they don't care about the
people being attacked.
The people being either attacked or approached.
Or like the recent horse one we watched,
right,
where the horse got attacked.
Yeah.
And everyone felt bad for the dog.
The dog, right? Is the dog's being whipped. And it wasn't even being whipped that much. And it wasn't even a solid piece of wood either. Anyway, this is what you're going to do. You're going to get yourself some bear spray. All right? If it's illegal in Canada, which it's not because you have bears, all right, you're gonna get yourself some bear spray and you are going to deploy it. Your dog's been attacked. You have the right to walk down the street. See, this is what is interesting. Oh my God, that's so cruel and mean. Okay, which part is cruel and mean? The part where she's trying to keep her dog safe that's been previously attacked. The fact that dog was attacked before by an off-leash dog, that's cruel and mean. Or the fact that she's trying to prevent it from happening again. None of it's cruel and mean. It's called Mother Nature. It's called a consequential event in life. And everything has a consequence. So the consequence is either you can't stop the dog, and then the dog will continue to do it, or you stop the dog, and that will probably absolutely stop the dog from doing it to you, but also possibly the shrapnel effect of other people. And that's how you stop it from happening. Next.
We're getting our Florida tans back, I just noticed.
We are?
We don't look so washed out on camera anymore. So, it's because the sun's been out.
It's about 3 days.
Joyful day.
It's that 3 day tan.
Yeah. Weird. In Ontario, it's plus 12 degrees, LOL. Global warming. One snowfall that lasted one day here this winter. Not complaining aside from seriously muddy dogs.
You know what? This global warming is like, let's stop that conversation, please. Because it's like...
Okay, let's not on a dog training podcast.
All right, next.
Kim says, hi, Jeff and Joelle. You were right about life changing. After a very traumatic experience, Thumper couldn't even look at a dog without losing it. My journey was tedious because he has neurological issues too, but now we just pick up and go. Pack walks and Neiman Marcus too.
Nice.
Where we had a 10-ish year old girl put her hand right in his face when he was in a down. He didn't move. XOXO. Love you for all you have taught me.
Awesome.
Aw, so proud happy you. For you, Kim.
Yeah, there's
love it.
This stuff, all of our testimonials sound so fake because they're too good to be true. But it's like
people have been like they pay people for their time.
And we don't even usually ask them for them anymore. They just show up. Like this one just showed up right now. It's like they just show up.
We just freaking love you guys.
And I think it's incredible and people have to also realize we're not like the testimonials are never about my dog learned to
Do a down, like
an obedience type command. It's always an emotionally,
like your whole
life, emotional thing. It's like, not just my dog is doing better, my life is better, my relationship is better.
Right.
My relationship with my, I can date again. Snacks on the community, you know this.
Oh my God, I know.
Snacks was the dog who made the separation anxiety video out. You ready for this? They posted a picture in the community of Snacks laying down in a crate. This is a family that couldn't crate the dog or leave the house for the year they've had Snacks. They've owned this dog for a year. They could never leave the house together. Someone always had to stay home.
Or they'd have to get hire a dog sitter.
They went out with a dog. They sent a picture of the dog in the crate, and they said, this is our first date night.
In 2 years without a dog sitter.
So it was a year.
Two
years without a dog sitter.
I think it was two.
2 years.
Crazy.
Their first date night ever. And Snacks did great. That is life changing. They used to come, they couldn't do it. And if they tried, the house got destroyed. The power of rehab is real. And we made a whole video on this dog.
Yeah. And a lot of people are having success with it.
Oh, terrible. Well,
yeah.
You know, we were talking about this today, that so many people can have so much easy success if they follow a simple plan that we put out there, like when you graduate.
Next. Literally. Jan says, howdy. Hey, Jan.
Hey, Jan. Howdy to you.
Mikkel says, assuming that hundreds of repetitions have been done and a solid foundation has been built with recall, at what age would you start a puppy with a knee collar?
Right now.
Well, what age is your puppy? You can do it as young as 16 weeks.
Right. So I'm assuming that if you've done that many reps in the foundation, you've got at least a 16-week-old puppy. So let me just clarify that. Have you done a 16-week-old? And I would start the dog on a long line. We, first of all, our Green to Red shows how to do this. Long line, e-collar food, and obviously skill set. Remember, that's the biggest thing also. There is a skill set there. And we teach e-collar work with a four-part series. It actually takes longer for us to e-collar train a dog than not e-collar train a dog. So there's a skill set there. Next.
Cheryl says, the smile on Jeff's face is like a proud dad when he talks about Rue. It's true. You were smirking. Hmm. Yeah, we love seeing the dogs progress. It's great.
I just know, okay, so the owner gets bit, dog walker gets bit, and it's attacked the other dog, which is coming in, by the way, for training as well.
Yeah, he attacks the housemate.
And I just know, eliminating those problems, what it's going to feel like for the humans.
How can you not smile?
And I'm that smiling, makes me just talking about that it. Makes me so happy that someone's life is going to get better. It's like, well, what about the dog? It's like, it's a given. The dog's
Rue
life
is so
better.
Much happier.
First of all,
he like loves
Rue
life
is
right now.
Rue was probably enjoying biting people. Like, there's some sense that dogs are like they handle stress differently than us. But it's also like he's also been de-stressed.
He's way less stressed now.
He's such so soft now.
Soft eyes.
You'll probably put the video up tomorrow. Yeah.
Sarah said, love the e-collar workshop. We've been doing driveway work and healing on NCS. Mm-hmm. On our last walk, a small dog came out of the garage towards us and Logan lost his marbles.
Mm-hmm.
I moved him back to get control. And once the other dog was taken inside, we did a couple extra passes by the house. Good. What could I have done better?
You probably
sounds like you did it right.
You are where you are. Which could you have done better? Even if you're on NCS, you still could have said no and given the dog a consequence. That's what you could have done. But I'm not going to say done better. That's just what you could have done.
Yeah, you did it as best as you could.
That's what you're working on. That's fine. See if you can set it up. Ask the owner, put the dog on the leash, and if they see you outside, just to walk out the garage.
And then it sounds like you didn't let the dog make contact, so you did a good job.
Yeah, but then let the other person know what you're probably going to do with your dog. But role play it. Start role playing it. Yeah, that's all.
In those situations, like, it's not unheard of for your dog to lose their marbles.
Yeah,
like,
It happens.
It happens.
Yeah.
Joyful Canine said, with dogs like that, can you get a muzzle on first, or do you go straight to correcting the equipment aggression? Did he bite for muzzling too? Does the order vary or same protocol?
Well, it all depends on the – okay, so every one of your questions is a variable. Every one of your points is a variable. Every one of those I can – say yes and no to, but he's muzzle conditioned.
The owner did a great job muzzle conditioning.
He's muzzle conditioned. But if I couldn't get a muzzle on the dog, now I've got to like be able to put a muzzle on the dog to work the dog.
But part of the issue with him is he's very aware. So he knows when the muzzle's on.
Right. He's not going to bite.
He's not going to try to bite with
right.
the muzzle on.
Right.
So a lot of the work we did with him had to be off muzzle so we could address the issue.
Right. So now he's being worked off muzzle today, moving forward with me, especially exclusively off muzzle. Yeah.
Joyful Cannon said, I'm not up to date on your recent social media about infection and on antibiotics. Mm. So I took Joelle's content creation course instead.
Awesome.
Which I have to rewatch. So glad we get lifetime access.
Yeah, watch it a bunch of times. Watch it a ton of times because she's also adding to it. Watch it a huge amount of times. Yep.
Haley said, dogs remember. That's how they learn.
Yep.
Jessica, my drooly dog lets me know if I need to tighten up and have gotten too lax with my follow-through. Mm. I can measure how well my dogs are doing by how little drool she has in her kennel.
Yeah, or stress, or anxiety, yeah. or confusion, or why is my dog all of a sudden starting some pushy, even pushiness, yeah. unwanted behaviors, demanding things, losing its training, pushing boundaries. Like, yeah. there's so many ways to be like, how did the hell did we get here? How do people gain 20 pounds?
Today, when you finished your training with Rue, and he started like pawing at you because yeah. he wanted to keep working. He's like, we're like, oh, now you're demanding to be worked. Got
right,
it.
Right, right.
So funny.
I thought you didn't like this touch shit.
Yeah.
right. It was pretty funny, actually. He used to bite you over touching, and now he's like, touch me more. It's like, yeah, I know.
Jolie said they're adults. All her kids are adults. Okay.
What are we talking about?
She said that she's asking her kids for donations for the community. Oh,
just fucking grab their goddamn credit cards.
Tell them it's an early birthday present.
Yeah.
Tim said hello from Flat Top Canine. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Tim. How are you?
Brittany, my German Shepherd has had a spoiled-ass life, but still has a ridiculous fear of the fire alarm and gunshots. Doesn't mean she was beaten while the fire alarm was going off
right.
or gunshots.
Yep.
Just an irrational fear. She also had an irrational fear of the vacuum.
Yep.
No logic. Doesn't mean she doesn't need to learn to be around it.
Yeah. So all those things can be pretty much stopped, if you haven't already done it yet, the same way.
Yeah.
The same way. So that's the thing, is like, people have got to they have to give up the abuse story. They have got to give it up. They've got to give it up. It goes nowhere. It doesn't change the training. It goes nowhere. If anything, it holds humans back from doing their best work. That I can say. You will not do your best work at all. At all. It has no effect on the training whatsoever. And the biggest lie is you can't correct the dog because it was abused. And that's what's stopping owners. That's the unfair part of this industry, is the amount of lying, which is stopping owners from doing protocols that work. Next.
Hey, Lisa, my question is, if my dog understands all done with hand signals, could an e-collar with just vibrate or sound help enforce it? Sometimes the hand signal doesn't work if not looking at me.
Okay, so this is a deaf dog?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so first of all, it can't be a deaf dog because you mentioned tone. First of all, my first question is this. Why did you, just think about this question. Why did you say vibrate or sound?
Maybe not, though. She didn't say deaf. The dog understands all done with a hand signal.
Right.
Could e-collar, basically what you're asking is, could you enforce it with e-collar, yes, even if the dog's not looking at me? But I don't know if the dog's deaf.
I don't know if it's deaf either. I just asked a question.
Okay.
I'm about to give an answer.
I'm really confused.
But you keep interrupting me. It's been happening a lot more frequently on these shows. Okay. So what I'm saying is why did you pick those two things? I'll give you the answer. They sound nice because you don't want to say shock. An e-collar is a communication tool. You have to teach your dog how to speak the language. We have a course on speaking the language. E-collars are great for training obedience and stopping unwanted behaviors. E-collars are great for proofing and reinforcing wanted behaviors. So an e-collar is good for a lot of things. So how do you get your dog to understand break better? Or any other command is dog training. Now, how are we going to communicate that knowledge to the dog? We have many ways to do it. Many ways to do it. But yes, an e-collar, I don't see a negative to using an e-collar at all.
Especially for all done. If that's what you mean, like all done, like enough, knock
right.
it off.
Right.
You can easily enforce that.
Right, exactly. because you want to probably replace it with no, if that's what all done is. If it's all done, like we're done with the training routine, that's different. But still, an e-cal can help you across the board with your training. No matter how good you think your training is, the e-cal can make it better if you understand the language.
Or maybe she means like all done, like all their training.
Yeah, that's
what I understand. All their training with hand signals. So you, yeah.
Or the session. Yep.
I don't know.
Yep. Next.
Kim said, the truth is the truth, believe it or not.
Yep. It's exactly. And the truth doesn't care about your feelings.
Snugglebun said, my service dog wouldn't be nearly as solid as he is now without you guys. He is my lifeline, and I absolutely needed his training to be successful.
Good. Yeah. With the service dog, you do. A lot of service dogs are washed.
For like silly shit, too.
Mm-hmm.
Snugglebun said, I was also asked if I could borrow someone's dogs while walking my dogs off leash in the park today. My walk is a pleasure because of the training I learned from you.
Nice.
Also asked if I could borrow someone's dogs. Oh, like someone wants you to train their dogs is what you're saying.
Mm.
Nice. Yeah. Haley said the dog is not deaf.
Right. Okay, good. So explain what all done is. If you're just like, if it's the break command or if they're like, you want them to stop doing what they're doing. Like, help me out there on that.
Yeah.
But an e-cal, though, is just a fantastic tool. And I'm very aware of the conversation out there. I've spearheaded using e-cowers. I'm not the first one to do it. They've been in hunt dog training for a long time. But when I started using e-cowers, you couldn't find one other video that actually demoed it. Nobody had those. Well, Greg wasn't around with e-cower technologies, but I was using Dogtra myself. But nobody was showing their work with e-cowers. There was not any helpful videos with e-cowers at all. None. Mm-hmm. Nobody had the courage to do it. Because they were around. Next.
Haley said, yes, all done. He goes overboard, gets hyper aroused, so all done ends it.
So you want to get...
But in hyper state and he does not see me, his ears don't work.
Right. Okay, so it's not about seeing you. If you nailed it with the first part of it. The dog is overly aroused. Dogs don't listen when they're overly aroused. I don't want you shouting at your dog. An e-cower can help that. A bonker can help that. Any correction in the moment to stop the over-arousal. Over-arousal, as we mentioned earlier in the show, is a major problem with dogs. Can actually stop that. Next.
Robin, is it hard to fix a dog that's lagging in the heel?
We're not fixing anything. Is it hard to train a dog to heel properly? No, it's not. Whether it's falling behind or pulling ahead or going too far to the left or crossing over in front of you or leaning into you, all that stuff is covered. Just type in what platform is that on?
She's on Facebook.
So she can just type.
You can type in WTW.
Just type in WTW. If you're on Instagram or Facebook right now, just type in WTW. You'll get a free course on how to get a better walk. Mm-hmm. Next.
Let's see. Just making sure I'm not missing anything on Rumble tonight. Mm-hmm. Haley said, thank you.
You're welcome.
Nothing on Insta. That's it right now.
That's it? That's all?
Yeah. And there were a lot. We blew through them.
Audience participation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's going on?
What's going on? Well, we have a lot of interesting dogs coming in. We got Rue's housemate. We have a human aggressive Dachi coming in. It's a good time right now. If anybody's like thinking about shadowing with us, we have some interesting behavior mod cases.
We got a dog coming in here. So we're going to be working that dog.
We have a human aggressive dog coming here too.
Yeah, it's German Shepherd.
That's right. So we don't do like a ton of shadow programs. Yeah.
It's actually being delivered from Massachusetts.
Yeah.
So we have a dog coming in from Massachusetts.
Oh, Constance, we used your recommendation for the
transport.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we have a dog being transported from Massachusetts. People ship their dogs to us from all over. So the way it works is, since human training is important, in a way, it really doesn't matter how the dog gets to us. It'd be nice if the owner drove, but it doesn't matter. You can go with a transport company, you can fly it to us. Our local airport, you know, we'll do an airport run and get your dog. It's actually quite common. So what the dog is being transported to us, and then the owner comes and does the training here. Owner comes and flies, picks up the dog, and then drives back. So that's very, very common for folks to do, is to ship their dogs to us. Because what happens is, a lot of people are spending a lot of money on local boarding trains, and you might have a good one by you, but they're getting harder and harder to find.
Yeah.
Or more and more bad ones are popping up. And the amount of money you spend and time you spend on a bad boarding train, you can spend a lot less just on the transport. Because that's what's happening is, people are doing boarding trains and it's not working out, then they're sending their dogs to us, unfortunately. I mean, it's good, but I feel it's like, well, think about all the money that it's costing now. Next.
Katie said, hey, so I've started up my own training business. Good for you. I'm great with training the pups myself, obviously still improving,
sure.
But I'm struggling with explaining stuff to clients and helping right. them with their handler skills. Right.
So
any tips on explaining stuff to clients that don't have a lot of experience?
Yes, you should be doing a professional consult with me. Just remember, 50%, this is the reason why you should join our 90-day intensive and be a member of our community at a minimum. And this is the reason why. 50% of your job, half of your job moving forward forever that you have this job is educating clients. Half of it. So by hiring folks that can help you with your whole client training, because there is a way to teach.
For sure.
It's worth huge amounts of money. Huge.
We can definitely help you with that.
And then now you have, then there's also business building you need help with. Social media you might need help with. You're a business owner now. So training a dog is it's difficult, but it's the easiest part of being a dog trainer.
Mm-hmm.
It is the easiest part. The mental game is 10 times harder. The training of the clients, 10 times harder. Social media, 10 times harder. So imagine having a coach. We didn't have these when I was starting out. Imagine having a coach that will save you all the mistakes that they've made and the industry has made a lot in this industry. And imagine being told the correct things to do and then making them yours. You should get a coach. All new dog trainers and even experienced dog trainers should have a coach.
I'm telling you, we invested into a mastermind this year, and Jeff gets mad because everything the coach tells me.
I don't get mad.
Jeff's like, I've already said that to you, Dad, but he came up with a name for it today. What was it called? Something about close proximity, something where like if you're with someone so much and they tell you things, it falls on deaf ears. Mm-hmm. So then when Eric tells me, I'm like, oh my God, this is like life changing. Jeff's like, this is not the fucking first time you've heard that. But it's because it's coming from an outsider, right. Basically.
So you'll learn really quick just to shut up. All right. And then you get yelled at for being so quiet. Why are you fucking not participating? Because it falls on deaf ears. So you can't win. You literally can't win. You're screwed either way. Right.
I cannot express the value of coaching though.
So you need a coach. Because teaching you how to do that, it's not on a podcast. No. It's actually should be done on a weekly basis. We get together. You should be part of our 90-day intensive. You should be part of our community. You should be part of a mentoring program. You should be hiring me for one-on-ones, hiring Joelle for social media one-on-ones. But invest in coaching. Imagine if you hire a coach and they add $50,000 to $100,000 in revenue to your business. What's that worth? Isn't that worth $500 a month, $1,000 a month? Of course it is.
Mm.
Of course it is. Absolutely is. So think about that. Your life will change because you'll find out real quick as a dog trainer, it's a lonely life. And you go into all kinds of between anxiety, depression, world affairs right now. It's really easy for any small business owner to struggle.
But that's why like we have the community.
That's why we have the community. So at a minimum, get
so
in the
community.
So many
good people in there.
At a minimum, get in the community. Next.
Joyful Canine said, do you know if the dog tar is less intense as say a 25 versus the mini educator? If it goes to 127, is that more options or less intensity at lower levels? Client has one and behavioral response seems so much weaker on the same levels, not super familiar with Octra.
Okay, so it's a different dog. It doesn't make a difference. Use the collar that you have. Why are you looking at the numbers?
Yeah, the dog will tell you.
The dog will tell you what number to use. Stop looking at numbers. Look at the dog. Doesn't make a difference what the numbers are. Doesn't matter whatsoever. That's why you like don't The numbers don't matter. The numbers don't matter. Next.
Constance said, I use All Done for when I want to end a fetch or toy session. I rub my hands together and show them nothing. I use it too for when I'm out of food and treats. I've heard you say you do one more with Wes and Fetch. Yeah, I've started pairing one more with the final throw and All Done. They seem to get it and drop the ball and go back inside nicely. Yeah, I'll be like, last one. And he knows. He's like, oh man, better make it count.
Mm-hmm.
Sam said, how's Wes doing?
It's fine.
Fine. I mean, the vet cleared, like, couldn't find anything wrong with him.
He's been fine the last $5,000 in vet visits.
Literally. Literally. I rush into the vet for, like, every little thing. Rack up vet bills. Thank God he has insurance. And they can't find anything wrong. So I'm just swimming him a lot. I'm not letting him, like, run too hard right now. He seems fine. I mean, he's jumping in my car again and stuff, even though I don't want him to. I think he just tweaked something.
Yep. Like I said. But
I'm still going to baby the fuck out of him and not let him run for a while.
Okay.
That's just what I do.
Next.
Stacy says, any more physical therapy post-stroke, still in a wheelchair, but getting reunited soon with my dogs. And once I'm up and walking, I set a goal to walk 1 mile for every day I was stuck in the
hospital. Awesome. Good for you. Good. Yeah. I'm
glad you're recovering. Kara, what is y'all's favorite breed for families after working with so many dogs?
No such thing. Any like... Favorite breed, it's like, all depends on the family.
And it depends on the individual dog. Right. Like, we've had some Malinois come through, believe it or not, that are the most docile dogs.
Not
like,
many.
How is this a Mal? No, but I can just start thinking in my career that I'm like, so wow.
We can use I can say every breed, you can mention every breed, and I can say, yep, it's a good and a bad for the family. Yep, good and bad. Lab, both good and bad. Pitty, both good and bad. Shepherd, good and bad. Doodle, anything that ends in doodle, good and bad. Not enough. You need to know way more about the family. You need to know way more about their education as far as their dog, like, smartness. And then you've got to find the dog. Is this the right dog? Is this not the right breed of dog? Is this the right dog for this particular family? That's the magic. I need the right dog for the family. So I don't care the nationality, color, religion of the family, and I don't care about the breed of the dog. Is this the right match? Next.
Constance said, hey, that's awesome. Yeah, thank you for the recommendation.
Mm.
Mark said, not sure how to train a foster dog I've had for 2 weeks. She was a breeding mama at an Amish commercial breeder.
Yep.
I'm sure her life sucked. She's scared of her own shadow, screams when I move too fast towards her.
Mm-hmm.
She's a BMD. Not sure if I need to train her or somehow get her comfortable in this world.
But well, that's what training is. So you need your answer is extremely long. The answer to that question is extremely long because it's more than just dog training. You have to do, state of mind. So dogs like this, there's a massive skill set, which is easily learned. But it's a base of knowledge that you need to know. And I would encourage you to start with the basics like green to graduate. But you also have to do tons of stuff. Chances are she's not, she associates the crate with just bathroom as well. But that's what happens with when you, then there's a discussion. Should this dog be going into a family? Mm-hmm. It hasn't been socialized. It's lived in a crate its whole life. Breeding is whatever, but that's where these dogs are. That's where the dogs are out there. So is this ever going to be an adoptable dog? All depends on the dog. Sometimes it doesn't matter, but it's going to be afraid of everything because it hasn't been socialized. It hasn't seen everything. It
hasn't seen anything.
It doesn't know what anything is. Bad. Imagine being in jail, coming out, and you're like, what the hell is this cell phone thing? It's like they've been around for long, long time. It's like, well, I went to jail 60 years ago.
Sometimes harder to rehab than freaking aggression.
Yeah. So, but you got a very insecure dog. So yeah. This is going to be a special way to do it.
We have the fearful dog course.
That'll help. But I would start with the basics. Start with structure, routine, the basics.
Yeah.
And then you have to teach the dog how to work through stress, which is a skill set, but we teach that. But you can't just, I can say it, but that's just a random phrase. Teach the dog to work through stress. Like, what does that mean? There's actually multiple steps on how to do that.
Yeah, you can't do it unless the dog has, like, some solid training.
Yeah,
first.
And there's also multiple steps. Yeah.
Haley, lots of training, lots of time, lots of reps. My dog I thought was hopeless. K9 Good Citizen test next week. Mm. Still needs improvements, and your videos help so much. Not sure he will pass, but we've come along.
What kind of shitty-ass fucking attitude is that?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. You made two negative comments. Stop. In the last one, not sure he'll pass. Then don't take the fucking test. Don't even show up.
Hey.
He might not pass.
He might pass.
I'm being sarcastic.
Oh. You sounded serious.
I know I did. I'm just saying, though. But I'm saying with that attitude, you might as well not show up because you might right. not even
You're going to walk in there like you're going to win the damn thing.
Yeah. You own that fucking place.
You're
going to
do it.
Yeah. Of course your dog's going to fucking pass. You're going to make sure your dog passes. And it's next week. That means you got a week to train and reinforce all that stuff. But come on now. Change the attitude. Change the outlook. Next.
Avi says, hello. Well, hey, Avi.
Now, I'm not yelling at you either. Brittany, like, do all things.
Brittany says, we aren't interested ourselves, but with owning a Corso, people approach us about bite work. I was curious if you find that you can have a sound dog, pet dog, and do bite work.
Absolutely.
I was just curious on your opinion.
100%. Mm-hmm. 100%. Yep. In fact, pet dog people will probably do better at it because you've already got the pet dog part down, and now you're just teaching it like a sport, a hobby. And that's all it is going to be, is a hobby. The dog's going to be equipment trained, just equipment trained, most likely, which means it's like it won't bite just a sleeve. It'll bite like literally a bite sleeve. Next.
Kim said, you guys are so solid. Thank you, Kim.
Wow. Thank you.
Haley said he's kicked out of puppy class at 14 weeks old.
How did he kick out of puppy? What did he do? Was dog farting too much?
I can say, do not give up. And I followed you the whole way, but still need work done. Thanks again. Positive and just cookies and no corrections do not work.
Oh, God, no. Reward-based training works, but that's not all the way. You can't do that. But it's like, you were kicked. Who kicks out a 14-week-old puppy out of class once it has like explosive diarrhea?
I don't know. That happens a lot, though. We hear that a lot.
How could you kick out a fucking, like...
If it's barking or something.
What kind of fucking half-ass trainer would kick out a puppy?
We hear it a lot. That's what I'm saying.
My God.
Katie said, thank you.
One of the easiest things to do.
Robin said, me training my own dog after having a stroke has been good therapy for me.
Good for you.
Good.
Good for you.
Kara, how do you know if a dog needs two e-collar receivers?
Well, there's variables there.
You gotta know.
Number one, what's your skill set as a trainer? What brand of e-collar are you using? How's the fit? What are the contact parts? What are you trying to do? How is your timing? What is your skill set? So we got to answer all those things. Then we'd have to watch videos of you working the dog because your words are might not be what's really what we're... So what you're saying is not necessarily what we're seeing. And if the timing's off, you might not do it. So there's a lot of variables there. Next.
So Quan on Instagram is like, where are you guys located? Told him we're in Florida. I said, oh, I wish you were closer. Listen, the majority of our clients
are not from Florida.
Are virtual, though. Believe it or not. Our board and train is very small. We're limited on how many dogs we can
take. And those dogs are all...
All the people you hear right now talking, asking questions, they're all...
Around the world.
And they're dramatically transforming their dogs with our courses and coaching.
We can be more effective.
We don't meet your dogs.
We're going to be more effective than more than 50% of the people in your town, if not higher. And I'm not saying that because, like, to gloat. It's just like, that's just the way it is.
We've just gotten really good and refined at our digital coaching because we know that our reach is global.
Yeah.
So, like, how can we help the people who can't come to Florida?
You don't have to have it. People think they have to have it. You have to have a trainer there. It's like, most things, no, you don't.
No.
You can do it yourself. Absolutely, positively, can do it yourself. Next.
Yep. Enjoy the journey, dog training. Freaking can't wait for Fast Track. It's a lonely world as a small family dog trainer, and it's invaluable to have the right people in my corner to guide and push me forward. 2024 is for growth. Yes. Good.
And Holly, I sent you something too. I'm not sure if you got it or not. It's an email.
Yeah. Very excited for Fast Track. Penelope said, is community the same as Patreon or is it something different? Yeah.
Patreon is closed.
Yeah.
Get out of Patreon. If you're still
way better.
It's open because everybody wants to access to the videos, but unsubscribe from Patreon. I would say it's 10x Patreon.
Yeah.
Jojo.
And there's a feature, like there's a community there's a community now. So on Patreon, nobody could interact with each other.
Right. Well, they could, they weren't.
But now it's like an open forum. Yeah. People are meeting their training besties in there.
Yeah.
They're meeting up. They're doing pack walks. They're doing training together because everyone's like-minded. They all train similarly. Mm. So they're like, hey, who's in New Jersey? Want to meet up? Let's do pack walks. Like, people are putting the shit to work and they're getting the results.
Yeah. So the community is way better.
Way better.
It's $377 a year right now. It goes up to $977 in
five days. Our key courses, Greening Graduate 1, Greening Graduate 2.
You get coaching.
Trick training, coaching, my content course for all the trainers in there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's inexpensive. It just is.
It is. Over a year.
It's less than a dollar a day.
Quanab said that makes sense. I've had two trainers and they've made her worse with people.
Yeah. So what you're doing is you're just not getting the right help possibly. So you don't just need information. You need the right information and then you need to know how to apply that information. So there's a training of the dog. There's having the right information. There's applying it. And then there's also training of the human. So then we also have to work with you. So we do all this. We do this. You can do it. We have do it yourself or done with you, or we do it exclusively. So there's a lot of different ways that we can help you. But virtual is, it'll blow you away. After the first session, you'll get more information from your first virtual session than you would have in 5 to 6 weeks. And I just say that because that's what keeps happening over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joyful Canine said, how do you stop a dog freezing with the e-collar stim, whether it's working level or higher level, just freezes like a statue, even when knowing all the fundamentals, leash has to be grabbed.
Right.
And then the dog moves like a sloth.
So dogs do that without e-collars. How do you stop a dog that objects to working? Pressure.
How do you motivate a dog? Yeah.
Prong, correct the dog. Dog needs probably a hard, firm correction.
Kind of how Snacks was in the beginning.
Because a lot of the dogs will be like, I'm done working. And they'll mentally be like, I'm done. Even though you know they can work more. And it's like, oh, use better food. I'm like, folks have got to realize that 50%, if not higher, of the dogs that we work with over the last 20 years don't take food when training. That's just how it is. So you need to understand leash handling, remote skills. Also, you also might have to use NIC instead of continuous. Also, you just have to use possible more leash handling and more pressure compulsion to get the dog to snap out of that freezing. But dogs do that on slip leads. They do that all the time. They'll just stop working. They'll plop down. Mm-hmm. They'll refuse to move. Yeah, next.
Quanab said, which course should I sign up for? She knows commands, but once you go outside, she's on alert mode, shakes the whole time.
Oh.
So good. You have sounds like a nervous dog. Nervous dog.
Even the Green to Graduate will help you.
If you're going to pay, Green to Graduate is $297. You might as well get in the community. $377 for the year.
For the whole year.
You get Green to Graduate 1, Green to Graduate 2, all our reactive dog case studies, and then 2 coaching calls a month.
That's the biggest thing. Is like, so now after watching these courses, like right now,
you're going to need ongoing support.
Right. We can't.
If you're working with a fearful dog.
We can't see or hear you. But on our coaching calls every other Saturday, it's on Zoom, so we can see and hear you. So we can talk back and forth. That alone, put it this way, it's $300. We charge $300 an hour. $325 an hour, I think, actually, I charge.
Yeah.
And the prices are going to be going up. But you get 26 hours a year. I mean, think about that. You get 26. It's shared, but it doesn't matter. You're still on there. You can still ask a question. You get 26 hours a year. Just do the math on that. It's an outstanding opportunity for people. Next.
Plus all the behind the scenes stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I'm putting up videos little by little from the Nashville seminar.
Which help people.
You're going to see how we work dogs through all kinds of problems in there. It's ongoing. I'm always adding to the community. It's never ending.
Mm-hmm.
Kim said, get that Jump for Joints by Adored Beast. Yeah, I have to check that out. Constance says, has your vet suggested laser therapy? It helps with inflammation and pain.
Yeah.
We use them in dental.
Yep.
She does do it. But she's like, based on how he's acting, she's like, I don't think he's in pain. Yeah.
Right. So in other words,
I think it was just a fluke thing. Yeah, like
he came back with a clean bill of health, no arthritis.
Like, he would run, right? If I threw his frisbee, he would run. I'm just being like
super safe,
scared, right. I guess.
I did acupuncture and cold laser therapy, but Uma, she lost all movement in her legs. Like, she couldn't even stand up anymore. She just dropped one day. We were actually in Rochester, New York, on a walk, and halfway through the walk, I had to put her up on my shoulders. She couldn't move after that. And then she went to her first acupuncture session.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
That's crazy.
She walked. Wow. Yep. And then she did underwater treadmill, and she did cold laser therapy and more acupuncture. And obviously, we did weight work on her back, hind legs, and she was able to do fine. Yep.
Quanab said, thank you so much. I've been struggling, so I'll look into the community.
Yeah, you're not alone.
No.
You're brand new to us. We appreciate you. But I've been doing podcasting for 16 years. So, and we've been making courses now just for less than three. And but we've been training for 20. So,
but the price is going up. So if you're gonna jump in, do it before Friday.
Yeah,
you'll save.
Yeah, and it's also there's gonna be a lot more stuff in there. There's like, we're giving so much. Like, the give on this is just gonna be just
because there's nothing really like it. Wow. You know, there's no place for everybody to go and.
Mm-hmm.
Share their successes and their struggles.
You'd love to see, you just have to see the value. You just have to, I mean, it's incredible. The there's so much cost to not having a dog well behaved. There's so much financial and time cost that's thousands of dollars a year.
Constance says, speaking of, I saw a video today of someone having fun with laser pointers with their dog.
Yep.
Haven't I heard you say those are a major no-no? Makes your dog neurotic.
I've said it thousands of times.
Yeah, definitely.
Thousands of times. Please don't do it. Yeah.
No. Kara, why would a dog need two receivers? I see some trainers use two. I've only ever needed one, but I'm curious why someone would decide to use two.
So, Kara, I don't know if you're a trainer or a personal dog. So, this is the thing. Kara, I'm not bashing you. I'm not hitting on you at all. All right. You've only had two. That's an important point. So, I have owned dogs that I didn't need any collar, or I've only used one as well. I've also owned dogs where I've had to do two. In the sport world, having two is common, so the stims are equal, and there's no head movement at all. There's no jerkiness of the muscle, because they are muscle stimulators.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some dogs also, they need more. Now, different e-collars have different powers. So, for instance, e-collar technology makes a 300 mini educator. They also have something called the Boss, which is an 800. They both go up to 100, but one is stronger than the other. We have dogs that have to wear a double Boss every single time. No, most of the time they actually don't need higher levels. But when they do, we wish we had something that went up to 500. Because they don't care about 100. Going through 100 on a mini educator is very simple for a dog to do. Most high drive dogs will blow through 100. Like, they didn't even feel it. They won't even make a peep. But if they were not in drive, like, below 10 works. That's the intensity of Mother Nature. People have got to understand Mother Nature better. They've got to understand what the amount of discomfort a dog will put up with to survive, to catch wild game, to fend off predators, to be able to mate. It is incredible. So there are dogs out there that when you're rehabbing them, especially for dangerous behaviors, you need a lot of power. In this whole don't train with pain conversation, it's like what it's doing is it's ending up with dogs being killed. Because there are some dogs out there that need massive amounts of discomfort in order for them to stop a well-practiced unwanted behavior, because they just don't care about any reward or even your average consequence. They just don't care. And we have a huge success with them. It's not our go-to. But I assure you, it's not uncommon. And any dog trainer working with serious dogs will tell you the exact same thing. Any dog trainer working with serious dogs, if they were honest and they knew the they knew nobody was taping it and it wouldn't be published and it wouldn't be repeated, it would sound just like me. I just don't give a shit about being on camera, being repeated, and people can say whatever they want. Because I care too much about my fellow human that is struggling with their dog. That is why I do this work. Not because I enjoy correcting a dog. It's because I don't want humans to keep struggling. I want the pain to stop now. Because I know what it's like. And it's a crappy fucking life. Next.
Robin said, thank you for what you do. You have a lot of knowledge and understanding in dogs. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Diane said, can I sign up to any of the courses? I'm in the UK.
Yeah. So all of our courses are international. You pay for them in US dollars. It's automatically,
which I think the euro is actually better than the dollar right now.
It's well, if she's in the UK, you guys are still on the pound, right?
Oh, they're not on euro. Oh yeah, I guess
I think you guys are still on the pound, yeah, right?
It's different.
Okay, because I think they switched back. I don't know if they ever switched where that thing failed. So yes, you have access to them 24/7. You own them. They are yours to own. They're yours to own. Yeah. So it's fantastic. We have clients all over the world.
Yeah.
For all of our foreign speaking folks, there's AI technology now that can, even though our programs are not translated, everything can be translated. Mm-hmm. So we were on some Greek websites 2 days ago, and right at the top of my computer, Google Translate popped up. Would you like this to be translated to English? Yes. Every web page that we went, the owner of the web page did not offer it in English.
Google, AI did it.
The AI did it for you. Everything was translated in English.
Pretty cool.
Which was great. Yeah. Next.
Let's see. Avi said there's so much pride in a well-behaved dog. It's awesome.
Yeah. It's a great feeling.
It's 8:07.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Any last questions? Any last thing, comments?
Let's see. Dogs and escalators. I have a service dog. I won't teach it because I'm uncomfortable teaching it, but maybe it's just me.
About an escalator? Okay, so the biggest problem with escalators is tails getting caught, paws getting caught. You want to center the dog. So you want to center the dog. You don't want to be too far flush right or left. You also don't want the dog in front of you at all. Also, as you go to the top, be cognitive of the paws, because as the stairs go like this, it's possible that their paws, if they're on the seam, could get caught and pinched. So you want to make sure their paws are always in the middle. I've done a lot of service dog and regular dog stair work. It freaks out the dog to be standing still. Even moving walkways at airports or other places, that freaks out dogs as well, because their paws aren't moving, but they are moving. So a dog, when it sees a set of steps, it knows how to walk up steps, they want to keep moving. If you have a dog that understands to stop when you stop, or to move slow or fast when you move. So as soon as you walk onto the escalator, immediately there's a little bit of confusion. So hold your leash and make sure you correct your dog into stopping any of its nonsense. Make sure its paws are placed properly. Be cognizant of its tail if it has a tail, and then just stand there. And do not let your dog sit down or lie down. They're standing the whole way up, the whole way up. All right. If you want to try to find like shorter escalators, which they're harder to find. I mean, airports, there's some that are like five times the length, but maybe find a shorter escalator. But it's easier than you think. Next.
Nancy said, I purchased a sport dog e-collar. The levels are so hot. Makes the dog yelp.
So
number one. So I resort to using Vibrate.
Yeah. So you see if you can switch that in for an e-collar technology. Sport dogs are, so first of all, it's a great brand, but to train the way we train, we often hear that level one is too high.
It's more for just correction.
So it's fine for a finished dog, in our opinion. Training at those levels, though, where number one is too hot, that gives us nowhere to go, because we don't train on Vibrate because we want to be able to go up and down the dial. So that's why we like the digital ones, and we don't like Garmin because it's too hard to control. We like the roller dial. So that's why we like Dogtra and eCower technology, because they don't run as hot at all. Next.
Levi says, I love you, Jeff. Been watching your videos since that George Jefferson walk.
Damn.
I loved training my dog using your videos.
Fuck. That was so long ago.
Yeah.
So long ago.
Yeah.
It's funny because people at seminars still quote that. It's like, I had the best walk ever. I did the George Jefferson. I'm like, damn, that's an old fucking video.
Yeah, it is.
Old video. I have not remade a basic obedience video for probably over a dozen years.
I know, probably should.
It's really
But it's all on our courses now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
like, there's still so much good stuff on YouTube if you want free.
Yeah.
If you want the latest and greatest, it's in the courses.
It's in the courses. Yeah. We spend, you know, all the, and Joelle does all the filming, all the editing, all the
I really need to hire
overdubs, everything. Yeah.
Adrian said, do you use out command for dogs who play too hard?
Yep.
Our one dog has no idea how to play and left a puncture in the other dog.
Yes. So out has multifaceted meanings to it, and dogs get, the way we teach it, dogs understand the context. We use out to back away from a resource. We use out to drop a ball, a tug, or a sleeve. We use out to get out of here. From a human, say, we use out to get a dog to move away from an object. We use out to stop rough play for the dog to immediately disengage and move away. So we, believe it or not, the same word, and we can generalize it for all those things. Now, we train those things, but once you train it for one or two of those things, everything else just falls into place. So yes, absolutely.
I can't. She says, you had some video where you were holding a banana up to the camera for some reason. I have a screenshot saved in my phone.
I was?
Did she save the screenshot?
You're fucking weird.
It's like her background.
What kind of fetish do you have?
Why were you holding a banana up to the screen?
Why does she have
it in a dog training video?
Why did she save it?
Maybe she wants a good laugh.
Oh my gosh. Don't tell me what you're doing with that photo, please.
Oh, my God. And on that note.
I have no idea. Why? Yeah, I don't know.
We're going to end the show now.
All right, everybody.
I wonder what video it is. Why would you hold a banana up to the phone?
I there's a lot of old videos I have that I probably wouldn't remember if I saw them. All right. All right, everybody. Madly in love with all of you. Everybody, take care. Have a great Monday. We got Monday?
It's Monday.
Have a fantastic Monday.
See you Friday.
And don't worry. Tomorrow when you wake up, it'll still be a little bit weird because of the time change, but you'll get used to it. But boy, are we loving this.
Oh, yeah. Staying, your podcast tomorrow.
Staying too. Later. I've got my Wake the Fuck Up with Jeff podcast.
Only in the community.
It's only in the community. It's at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, everybody. Love you all.
Good night. Bye-bye.